All right. So today we're going to talk about the dreaded freight broker school, dispatchers, all that good stuff. My name is Steve, and I am, hold on one second. All right, so my name is Steve, and I am your favorite freight broker, and I wanted to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about freight broker schools, freight dispatching schools, and all those other wasted money schools out there, but I do have one that I recommend. Get to that at the end. So, as most of you guys know, I'm not a big fan of freight broker schools because I think they're being taught by people that don't know what they're doing. And that's just a blunt fact and how I feel. So, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all bad, but the majority of them, you know, shouldn't be freight broker schools. So I guess if anyone's here, well, I see 12 people are online. Go ahead and type something in chat. Tell me hi or whatever you feel like talking about. So, and we'll talk about, you know, different schools and questions that you have. The video that I made yesterday or Saturday had a huge, tremendous response to it. So I wanted to answer a lot of the questions that I got afterwards or that were asked in chat about freight broker schools and where they should go to learn and all that good stuff, which is why I'm making this video today. And again, we're live. I read the comments, so go ahead and ask something and I will answer it the best that I can. So I'm going to start off with some of these seminars. Well, actually, I'm going to talk about how long it took me to learn the industry. So I've been working logistics for 15 years now. I still don't know everything. I'm not going to know everything. You know, I had good days and bad days, and I learned something new every day, personally. It's not to say that I don't know a lot about the industry. I do. But I learn every day. I'm one of those guys that reads every single trade magazine you could possibly find. And the reason I do that is because knowledge in this industry, especially now that it's changing, is super important. You know, you see a lot of like $99 freight broker classes out there that guarantee you'll get some fancy certificate after taking their online class. And I mean, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but don't sign up for them. Again, my personal beliefs, what I feel, doesn't mean it's right. It's just what I think. Now, if you have a program that is saying, hey, come down to our offices, we'll train you for a week and give you a good fundamental understanding of the freight industry, then that's one thing, and I get that. Especially if they're open and they say, hey, we're not going to give you some fancy certificate saying you're a certified freight broker. Because from what I understand, there's one company, or it's not even a company, an association that certifies freight brokers, and you can't just take it. You can't take the certification course if you're new. And we'll get into that in the end, because that's part of the company that I'm, I guess, going to recommend, for lack of better words. What's up, King Jackson? But yeah, there's companies online that I've seen them advertising recently for like $99, and they'll teach you how to be a freight broker. And then there's other people that it's really hard to censor yourself so you talk fairly, I guess, because a lot of the times I don't want to talk fairly. I would like to sit and just blast all the freight broker dispatching, blah blah, that come out. Which is ironic because I owned a freight training company and I owned a very large freight dispatching company in the past. And I trained a lot of people to become brokers and to become dispatchers. And one of the reasons I stopped doing that is because I've, even with what I know, I was unable to help everybody. I was unable to have everybody grasp what it was that I was teaching them. And I would refund a lot of what people paid and all this stuff. And then I decided that I am not going to do it anymore. And so I stopped. And then the dispatching side, with the downturn of freight, earlier in the year, I decided that dispatching, or I didn't decide that dispatching wasn't worth it. I decided that the service that I was providing to the carriers no longer justified the amount that they were paying me, if that makes sense. They were paying me 4 and 5 and 6%, but of what the total load cost. But then when the freight rates started going down, that 4 and 5 and 6% used to be their profit, or used to be combined with their profit. When the rates were super low, me taking 4 or 5, percent was their profit. So I switched it up and I created the app and tried to automate the dispatching side. And we did. And we had a lot of company and we had the tipping system. And it didn't really work. It worked for the carriers. They were able to get loads and our dispatchers did it, but they didn't tip us. So it's one of the give and takes, I guess, of the industry. So I stopped that side. And I trained a couple of people. I did a bunch of seminars. The last seminar that we had was last month. The one that was for this month is going to be canceled. And the reason I did that is because I didn't want to be grouped together with some of the other people that are doing these dispatching companies, or I'm sorry, the dispatcher or freight training companies. I didn't want to be one of those guys. So I ended up separating myself from that group completely. And I don't charge to train people. I don't train people. I don't, I'm not going to charge for anything that's training related. Hence the whole idea of Freight Broker Live. And the reason why I've made this kind of a mission is, as I was describing it to somebody else, is because this industry is ever changing and it's always going to change. And right now, you can't go to college to become a freight broker. So you can either try to do it yourself and learn it kind of on your own, which is what I did, or I work for another company that does it. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. So I'll give a little bit about my background and then I'll jump right into this targeted conversation for today. So I started, I don't know, I was in college as a carrier, and I wasn't a legit carrier. I had a pickup truck and a little trailer, and I would just haul shit around that I would find on U-Ship and sites like that. And this is back when U-Ship was brand new, so nobody else did it. Andre, no, I don't do any forwarding stuff. I have, but I don't do it now. But yeah, so I started doing that, and I had a little trailer and an old beat-up pickup truck, and I just grab all the loads off of U-Ship and just book them. And again, this is when U-Ship first started, so it didn't have the bad reputation that it does now, and it didn't have cheap freight like it does now. Or maybe I was just naive and didn't know what a lane rate should pay or something like that. But I did that during my summers off, and I think it was my freshman to sophomore year. I did it for the better half of the summer, just running all across the country. I brought a jet engine to California and the motorcycles back, and all in a little, 10-foot trailer. And then the second year, sophomore to junior year, I ended up renting a Penske truck, and at the time I had met my wife, and I had this little Penske truck, and I'd cube it up and I'd drop off these, houses and all sorts of random loads and try to make money. And I wasn't really making that much money. And then the junior to senior year is where everything kind of clicked. I had the box truck, so I realized I could make more money doing the box truck. I still didn't know about the main load boards or anything like that. But I got a couple of local accounts and I was doing pickup and delivery and stuff like that and making decent money. And then I forgot about it. You know, met my wife. We moved to Florida. I had a convenience store down here, a couple of side hustles, you know, pawning stuff and this and that and running stuff on consignment. And then we found out we were having a baby. So we moved back up to Jersey to be by her family. And that's where I really got involved in the freight industry. I worked for a moving company and I was a crew chief. And I got laid off, or I was about to get laid off, and during the winter because he was taking his trucks off the road. So I rented his truck for $600 a week, taught myself how to use the load boards, and started booking freight. Originally, I started with U-Ship, and then I just looked up load board and I saw Dat, and he already had his MC and all that stuff. So, you know, that's a really long story on how I got involved in freight. But I'm a salesperson, so I quickly got, you know, accounts, local accounts, and then there was freight that I couldn't handle, and then sooner than later, I've opened a freight forwarding company because it was less restrictive than becoming a freight broker at that time. This is before MAP 21 and all that crap. And that's that. So, and then I've worked for a bunch of different companies. I closed the forwarding company and went over to UTI and was an agent for UTI. And then I got hired by another company, Global Transport Logistics, and I was their sales director and brought on a bunch of other accounts. I got stuff like lint on my shirt. It's driving me nuts. Anyway, so I was a sales director for that company. Then I became an agent again, and I've been working as an agent or sales director or owning my own trucks or VP of sales for a bunch of different companies, and that's what I've been doing now, except for taking 2 years off to become a firefighter and then realizing that wasn't for me and coming back to logistics. Okay, so with all that spat out, my last 2 years of working in logistics has been as a freight agent. I owned a couple of trucks and I did trainings. So that's how we ended up in Florida. I was hired by a company to be an agent trainer for them and build a freight program, you know. So long story short, which, you know, I've already spent 13 minutes talking about my background and other random shit. So I'll get to it here in a second. Thank you to the 27 people that are bearing with my conversation. Freight sucks now. The rates are lower. They're coming up. You know, someone asked that the other day. When do I think freight rates are coming up? They are. They've already come up a little bit. The thing that's funny is a lot of people want to become freight brokers, and they look online and they see all these programs and all these people talking about how much money they make. And to the person that doesn't know what it is to be a freight broker, when you have carriers and other drivers complaining all the time about how high of a margin a freight broker is taking, clearly the people that are sitting there trying to figure out if they want to be freight brokers are going to want to become freight brokers because you're talking about how much money you think they're making. So here's a couple of like key points. If you got a pad of paper and a pen, write it down. Freight brokers, in general, they're not making 30, 40, 50% profit margins. They're just not. Maybe some are, or they're LTL brokers because LTL, you can make higher margins because the actual shipping cost is much, much lower. Bear with me. I'm working at the same time. Dispatch. Hey, you get it delivered? Cool. I'll mark it delivered. Thank you. Yep. Bye. All right. So sorry. I'd love to become a broker. These schools, though, are ridiculous. Yeah, Charlena, that's the whole reason why I made this video. To stay tuned, I'll give you the one place that I recommend, and I'm doing it at the very end of the video, but you'll see why at the end. But there are there's I'm big on social media, so I'm always looking online. It's always open on my computer. I've got multiple screens, and I always have the load board open, our software open on a split screen, Facebook open on one screen, and then my email, my phone, and then the chat software I use for the people that work for me. That's how my computer is set up all the time. And I switch between the load boards that I need to. But I'm always on social media. And so I've seen all these people that advertise their freight broker schools and dispatching networks and all sorts of fun stuff. But I'm also an invested, I almost call myself an investigator of social media. But what I like to do is research who I'm or who these people are. And reading about some of the horror stories, or finding out that they worked as a freight broker for 6 months and that qualifies them to charge $399 a month for you to be part of their dispatching network. So I know I said in the beginning of this video that I wasn't going to blast anybody, but if you ever think about taking a course or a class or anything about being a broker or being a dispatcher, and the abbreviation for the company you're thinking about taking it begins in RB and ends in an S, don't take it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Most people already know who I'm talking about right there, but just don't do it. There's other people that hold seminars, and I've done it myself, where they teach you how to, I guess, operate your truck. And it's, I don't qualify that as one of the groups that I'm talking about here. You know, if a company is saying, hey, come to wherever I am, I'll teach you how to utilize the load boards and do all that stuff. They're doing it and they're kind of spinning it in a way that you can make a lot of profit. You can make a lot of profit, but they're not necessarily coming out saying that you're going to know everything you need to know when you leave our course in a month or a week or a weekend or anything like that. So here's my main guidelines for a freight broker school. If they can teach you in a day, they're not real. If they could teach you in a weekend, they're not real. If they can teach you in a week with you going 40 hours or a week, 5 days a week, they're still not real. It could potentially give you the foundation to build off of, but I couldn't, I wouldn't recommend anybody take it. You have the self-paced study ones that are run by people who have been in the industry for 20 years. Don't take those as well. Hello, auto transport broker here from Port St. Lucie. Well, good, me too. That's where I live in Florida, Port St. Lucie. And I'm going to talk about the auto transport thing in a minute too, because it's pretty interesting. And that's a good for anyone that's looking to get into a hugely, another non-word, a very oversaturated market that you could potentially make a lot of money in. The auto broker side is one of those. And I dabbled in it for a little bit. It wasn't my cup of tea, but we'll talk about that a little bit in this. So what was I talking about? Yeah, just different training programs. There is not a single one that advertises on Facebook that I would ever sign up for, being if I was hypothetically brand new. That's just my opinion. I just wouldn't. You know, and that sucks because years ago, when there's one or two dispatchers and the dispatchers worked from their house and they only had five or six trucks and they were happy doing it and the carriers were happy doing it, it was fine. And then people blame MAP 21. I don't anymore, Michael. So, Michael, actually, I will address the questions at the end because I'm also recording this and I'm going to upload it as a podcast, and it's not going to make any sense if I just randomly answer questions through the way. So I will answer all the questions and comments at the very end of this. So like I was saying, dispatching, like, and a lot of owner operators and drivers and carriers online bash dispatchers and they call them illegal brokers and all that. And I could address that quickly if someone wants me to. But right now, being a dispatcher for an independent carrier or two or three or four is not illegal. And it's just because of the way it's worded. Eventually, my belief is that it will become frowned upon, I guess, and they could come after you for being a dispatcher. Right now, I don't think it could. That's just my belief. And if you're going to go out and be a dispatcher anyway, you might as well just get your own broker bond. So that way you can broker freight and go after direct customers, because that's ultimately what's going to benefit the owner operator the most. And if you are trying to dispatch and build a dispatching network, the reason you're doing that is to benefit the carrier. And if it's just to make a money, then you're in the wrong business, in my personal belief. But there's people that are offering to train people for $99 on how to become dispatchers. I've seen that online. $99, and you could take a self-paced freight broker school. I just don't do it. There's two ways that I think, well, actually, I take that back. There's one way that you can become knowledgeable enough to go out and start your own brokerage. That's going to work for someone that already has it. That's just my belief. Yeah, I don't think you can, I guess, do what I did and just get your feet wet and learn the business from the inside. I probably would have made a lot more money a lot earlier in life had I went and worked for a different company for a little bit, because I would have been able to understand it more, and then teaching it myself took a little bit longer. And that's just my belief on it. I will read some of these comments because they're big, and then I'll go from there. King Jackson is from Detroit. What's up, buddy? That used to be a good town, I think, for freight. I haven't seen much freight moving out of there lately. Andre asked if I'm moving loads from, or I guess if I'm moving loads abroad from the US to foreign countries. As I said, I'm not a forwarder, so I don't do it. That's a whole different ball game in terms of freight brokering and all that. It's a whole different license, a whole different set of rules and regulations that I don't know anything about. So no, I don't. Anytime that I've had to do that, I hire out an NVOCC or a forwarder or something to do that. Charlena Guy asked, where in Florida am I? I am located in Port St. Lucie, Florida, just about 2.5 hours north of Miami. Charlena Guy again said she would love to become a freight broker. The schools are ridiculous. They absolutely are. There's so many of them. I was doing a little research for this video, and I saw one school that if you take their online self-paced class, it's $1,250. And if you take their in-person 1 week class, it's $2,500. And then what I read further into it and doing some research, it turns out you'd become an agent for them with 30% profit, which essentially means you're t paying $2,500 to learn something, and it all depends on how well they're actually going to teach the industry. And then you're going to give up 70% of your profit to a company that you just paid $2,500 to. It's garbage, my belief. I don't know how you say it. I'm just going to call you Gil. You're an auto transport broker here in Port St. Lucie. Congratulations. It's a nice town that I don't really like. I miss the north, but it's nice here. And then Michael, you asked, do I broker cars? I answered that. I'll go into the car thing a little bit. If for you guys that are looking to just start, a brokerage and you don't have a good book of business, but you do have a little bit of resources, you could file for your bond, get your broker authority, build your company up off of cars. You sign up for a lead service, you compete with 8 or 9 or 10 other people. So as soon as the lead comes in, you call the carrier or the customer rather and say, hey, I'll ship your car. It's $150 deposit up, right? You use Central Dispatch, it gives you the rate. It's a super easy job that if you book 2 or 3 cars a day, you have no expense. You don't pay carriers because the carriers are paid COD at delivery. It's kind of a brilliant concept. And if you're good with SEO and all that stuff, you could build your own website that directs traffic in, and then on your surplus of leads that you would have, so if you only have time to book 2 or 3 cars, you could resell those leads. It's crazy. I mean, we tried it for a little bit. We were paying $250 a week for leads, and so it gave us about 100 leads. And I chose a better package, so we'd end up closing a day, maybe two or three of those leads. And it paid for itself, but the amount of work, it was an intensive call center type job. And granted, I didn't do the calls myself, but I didn't like it. And so we dropped it. There's people like Gil who have been transporting cars for 15 years because it's an easy thing to set up. And once you build the customer base, they're going to call you directly. You're going to end up getting, continuous work. It's just not something I preferred to do as a freight broker. So coming from a freight background. And also, and like Gil said here, it's extremely saturated. So everybody and their brother has a freight brokerage or an auto brokerage. It's for every one freight broker out there, there's probably 15 auto brokers. No joke at that. And it's dominated by four or five big companies out there. Michael said, heard. How do I find round trip lanes? Well, Jim, I'm not a carrier anymore. So when I was a dispatcher, you look on the load boards. So if you're looking in terms of dedicated freight, that's where you got to reach out to the shippers. When I was a dispatcher, I found a shipper direct that was out of, I don't know, Gulfport, Mississippi or something. They made plastic and they shipped it like 150 miles away, and then they asked if we had a return trip that was coming back. And it just so happens I had a driver that ran that area. He was on monthly with us, our monthly rate. We ended up putting him in contact with that shipper. We only worked with him that 1 month because he got a direct customer and he was just running local and he was super happy about it. So that how you find direct lanes is the same way, or how you found Ryan, how, geez, I can't talk. How you find round trip loads is the same way as you'd find regular customers by putting the work in, Lisa Nodit said, I am new. That's funny. Lisa Nodit. I'm not that I'm sorry. I forgot I'm recording this and I said, not a something my kids would laugh at. Anyway, you say I'm new to this learning. And that's good. It's a being a freight broker, if you get the hang of it, or dispatcher or any of that, is good if you know what you're doing. And if you learn properly and you have time. If you're looking to make a bunch of money right away, then this is not the business for you, personally. India Height said, is there money in it? So I'm assuming that means cars. Yeah, there's money in it, like I said before. It's a bunch of questions. And you asked, India, can I just help you understand the difference between a dispatch and a freight forwarder? I can. A freight forwarder is someone that ships freight overseas. They take possession of the freight by definition, so they typically have to have cargo insurance as well. They often operate warehouses. Some of the brokers that are out there, you may know Roadrunner Transportation. Who's the big one? Forward Freight. No, Frontline Freight, not Forward Freight. Those guys are forwarders, even though they operate trucks. They're not their trucks. They use independent contractors or trailers and stuff. So, and they're classified as forwarders, because you could be a forwarder and only work with domestic freight. You could be a freight forwarder and still be a domestic freight broker. And that's how I started in the industry, because it was actually less legislation at that time to just register my freight forwarding company versus open a brokerage. And I don't remember why. I think the bonding requirements were lower. But that's what I ended up doing. I didn't mess with international stuff, cross-border freight. A dispatcher is someone who just finds freight for the owner operators that they're working with, usually from brokers. If you're working on direct shippers and you are handling the financial aspect of it and you don't have a broker bond, you're doing something illegal and need to stop now. It's almost impossible to make it in a new company. Oh, you are answering India. That's not true. It is inflated with brokers, but that's not true. If you have a good marketing, if you're able to sell yourself, you could do fine. There's someone online that makes videos, and I think she has classes and all that crap. But she makes videos in regards to auto brokering and stuff, and she does a really good job from what I've seen on the sales aspect of it. Jeez, man, I can't talk. Let me get some water here. But that's something. It kind of depends on what you're making. You can't survive on leads anymore. Closing ratio is awful. It absolutely is. That's for car leads. The closing ratio is horrible, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get out of it, because it just wasn't enough profit. Charlena said, "Your husband is a transporter. Many times I booked a load for him. I absolutely can't believe how many of these brokers are just crap. That's why I become one." What? Many of these brokers are just crap, which is one of the reasons I want to become one. If someone can who could barely do it, I know for a fact I can. Well, I don't know. That's an interesting way to look at it. You can make money as a broker. You just have to have a you just have to be able to do it. That's the easiest thing for me to say. You just got to be able to go out and do it. And if you're talking about being a car broker, then yeah, if your husband's already transporting cars, you should become a car broker and have him hand out business cards at every single stop he makes, because that's how you're guaranteed to get business. All right, I'm over talking about cars because it's not what I wanted this to be. Here's actually a good question. Claudio asked, book a business, what do you think an ideal number of customers? So for me, I have three main customers that ship every day, and then maybe four or five that ship a couple of times a month, and one or two that ship one or two times a month, and then the one-off customers. I don't believe in having a big customer base. I'd rather have the larger accounts, but bigger volume. That's why I do it. I have a handful of customers, and I've worked with them for a long time. And if I go out to get a new customer, it's because I need it and not because I want it, So that answers that question. And I'm assuming you mean the car lady. I have no idea. Look up auto transport training or something. It's a lady, I think from Georgia or something. She's good. She talks primarily about the sales aspect of it, and she does a lot of YouTube videos and all that good stuff. But never too many customers. All right, so back to the freight broker stuff, because that took a lot longer than I thought. So we learned here, don't pay for any freight broker classes. The only one, now this is what I was leading up to. There's only one certifying board for freight brokers, and that certifying board is the TIAA. TIAA. Man, I can't talk today. Which is a transfer. I'm not even going to try to say it. So if you go to tianet.org, which I'm going to open it up and then show you and screen share, but it's going to be very small. I'm just going to show you what the website looks like so you could see it. And then you can do what you want later. But and I don't get any kickbacks from these guys. This is what I'm actually going to take a certification through them in September, just because I want to and I want to test it out. But the certification I'll do is not one that you'll be able to do as a new broker, because it's not geared for new brokers. It's gear you have to actually have qualifying, just like any other certification. You need to have a certain number of points to qualify you just to take the exam. And they do that on purpose because they don't want a bunch of new people taking the certification and then saying, "Hey, I'm certified," and ruining it for other people. It's kind of like the auto saturation thing that we talked about. But like I said, if you go to the TIA.net, let me see if I could put that here. TIANet.org. Right. Which is right there, tianet.org. And then if you go over to New Broker Success Package, which is under the membership tab for those that are just listening. And I mean, I'm not going to go into big detail because I'm not trying to sell it. This is just the only one you guys should take. If anyone's looking to take a freight broker class, I think it's $695. It's not going to give you a certification on how to become a broker. It's not going to do any of that. What it's going to do is teach you exactly how to be a freight broker, and then you need to learn the sales aspect later. Any of these companies that are online teaching you how to do sales and all that crap, it's all not true, in my personal belief. So this is the only one I would recommend. Go to the site, sign up for it. When you meet a certain level of requirements, I think it's you have to have 5 points, and some of it's education, work experience. Then you could take the CTB, the Certified Transportation Broker designation test, certification, whatever, with them, so you can follow your name with the CTB de designation. Yeah. I cannot talk today. But once you take that course, it's the only course that I've ever looked at that I think it would provide enough of an education for someone that is thinking about getting into the industry. So yeah. So if you go to the TIA dot or TIANet.org, and just look around. You know, they're a huge organization. They're a nonprofit. So it's, you know, it's the best one I found. Go to that. All right. Jennifer said, what kind of broker am I? Dry, freight, or reefer? I don't do any reefer really. I do flatbed and mostly dry van partials because that's just my big customer. So that's what I do. What other questions do people have? You know, I made all sorts of funny little, whatever you do when you are trying to become a freight broker, you have to go slow. Don't try to rush in. Any of these people that are like, oh, you become a freight broker, it's super easy. You file for your bond, you know, you do your FMCSA paperwork, and boom, you're a broker. You cold call your first shipper, they're going to give you a bunch of loads, and you're good for the rest of your life. There's a bunch of challenges you're going to have as a freight broker. And they don't end once you've been open for a year or two. You're going to start off with a huge amount of challenges, and then every single day you're going to have more and more. You know, like today, today's been slow. I've booked, I think, three loads, one of which was a recovery load, which I lost $500 on, meaning I think I booked it for 400. I had to go back to the customer. He gave an extra $600, but the truck that I got to cover it was $2,100. So you could see I lost $500 by that. But the reason I did it is because I gave my word to book the load, and I follow through with my word. So the goal is to get as much business as I can from that customer. And the easiest way to do that is by being honest. If I screw up and I can't cover the load, either try to give it back if they have time to cover it. If they don't, then take the loss and get it moved. You know, so I had that moved, and then I think I booked two loads, one that had 100 profit and one that had like 150. So I'm still negative in the day, but I did pretty well last week, so I don't care. But that's my philosophy. You know, always make sure that the rates, like how many of you guys actually know how to generate a freight rate? I know a carrier can look at a map and say, okay, I want to make 250 per mile. I'm going to go over to Google. I'm going to punch in the distances between it, and then multiply it by 250, and that's going to give me my rate. But how many brokers out there actually know how to generate a rate so you can turn a profit in the load? Now, if you do the same thing, but you just add 15% for profit, you're hurting yourself, and you probably will have a lot of loads in your day that you're not going to be able to cover. If you are someone that looks at the lanes and the suggested rates and all that stuff, then you're going to be able to understand the industry a little bit better, and be able to forecast rates, because customers aren't always saying, okay, give me the rate for today. Who knows what happens in the future, and the rate can change. You know, and so I always believe in being very thorough when I give out rates. And oftentimes I try to shoot high, and I'm not afraid to go back to the customer and say, hey, my rates are too high, or I need more money, I didn't quote enough, or whatever I have to. The biggest thing I would say for anyone that's out there looking to become a broker, take the course that I talked about through the TIA, and I'll put that in this chat thing. So anybody who wants to see that can go. Now, that's a nonprofit association. I don't make money from it. I don't get anything. The reason I'm referring people to them, it's because it's the only one I trust, and the money goes to that, help lobby for the industry and all that stuff. Now, a lot of owner operators may not like them. I don't know. I don't follow that stuff too much. So, any other questions? What do we got? Jennifer said a lot of cold calls. Yeah, and no matter what aspect of the industry you're in, you're going to make a crap ton of phone calls. If you're a dispatcher, you're going to make a bunch of phone calls to the brokers who have loads. If you're a freight broker, you're going to make a bunch of phone calls to the dispatchers, or I'm sorry, to the customers who need to ship things, or you hope need to ship things. That's just it. It's not as active as a Saturday chat, and I clearly can't talk normal today. So I'm probably going to end this video a little bit shorter than I normally do, unless there's other questions. I will probably make another video tomorrow. I'm not quite sure. I know I'm going to be adding some blogs to the website. The website is kind of up. I put it up this weekend, which is the freightbrokerlive.com site. It's not fully set up, but you're welcome to check it out and see what you think about it, and just stay current on content that's up there. YouTube is also live. If you subscribe to my Facebook page, which is My Favorite Freight Broker, you can find the YouTube there. And I'll be adding content all over and putting these podcasts up so you can download them. And hopefully, I have days where I speak a little bit clearer than I am now. With that said, I'm going to end this. You guys take care. I'll talk to you next time. That was not that smooth.